What's up, kids? Welcome to Choose Your Own Adventure. I'm Kasha.
I'm Mari.
And today we're talking about definitely not LARPing, I promise. I swear to you.
No, this is completely different for reasons that I don't have.
We're talking about character mannerisms.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're talking about acting at a table while sitting down, which is definitely...
Definitely not the same.
Definitely not LARPing. The same.
It isn't, though, and it's like... chill, and it should be fun and comfortable for everyone. So we're gonna talk about some different ways today to do, like, give your character mannerisms that you act out that don't make you feel dumb. Like, it's supposed to be chill.
Also, no disrespect for people who
no
do
LARP. For LARPing. Like, I would absolutely do it if I knew people to do it with. Let's be very clear about that. I absolutely would do it.
I'm glad everyone's having a good time. That's the important thing.
Yeah, it's good, wholesome, fun. But today we're talking about specifically table mannerisms.
Yep.
Giving your character noticeable mannerisms that you, the player, act out while you're sitting at the table can be intimidating for some people. Like, I know some people are like, ooh, don't like the sound of that, particularly new players when you're thinking about doing D&D or doing tabletop for the first time, and you're like, I don't really know how I feel about, like, acting in front of people.
Yeah, it's putting yourself out there in a very social way, and yeah. Like, I don't know, most people don't learn to act
unless you have a reason
most points
to
in their lives. Yeah.
But it's chill, I promise. It adds a lot of depth to the role play, and it really helps with immersion for everyone at the table, including you, and it helps the DM and the other players distinguish your in-character dialogue and actions from just table talk, like what you just, you know, you and your friends sitting around a table goofing off, like, making those things separate verbally is kind of nice. And it's also not nearly as scary as some people believe it to be.
So to help out, today we're going to hit a few different kinds of character mannerisms that are, like, pretty straightforward to incorporate into your play. The main ones there are that your character might have either verbal or physical mannerisms, or both, that distinguish them in some way from other characters at the table, and the ways that you're going to show that is through dialogue or description or both, because both of them are good to use.
Yeah. So the first one we want to hit is verbal mannerisms, which are just the speech-related traits that your character might have, such as character voice and, like, speech patterns and stuff like that. The character voices, that's another thing that new players get scared about a lot, I've noticed. Like, when I go to play a game and there are people who haven't played before, and they're like, wait, you want me to speak in, like, a different voice? Like, what? And it's just a, like, scary thing. It's chill. It's chill. I promise it's chill. And it's also the number one best way to show that you're speaking in character.
Yeah, totally. It's such a clear line between you, the human player, and you, the
presumably
human or otherwise player character.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's just another character trait. Like, we talked about physical appearance a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another, like, thing that tells other people about your character. Their voice shows things like where they came from and who they are. How they act, how they think, how they feel. So you get a lot of personality out of that, like, one little detail that you add.
Yes, definitely. And also, there are a bunch of really simple ways to alter your own voice so that you have an easy time switching back and forth between in and out of character. Your character voice should be comfortable for you to speak in.
Oh my god, it needs to not just, like, destroy your throat.
Yeah, you gotta, like, know your line there. If you have a cool voice in mind, you're like, oh, I want to do a deep, gravelly voice, but then, like, 10 minutes in, you have, like, an ache in your throat, don't do it. Don't. Like, it's not worth it to hurt yourself to do a cool voice. There are plenty of ways to do it where you're not gonna strain your voice or hurt yourself. It should be comfortable for you to speak and hold a conversation in this voice. So if you find yourself putting a lot of effort or concentration into doing a voice, that also can be an indicator that it might be more complex than it needs to be, and you can probably, like, chill it down a little bit. Like,
yeah, if you're stopping every two or three words, not because you take back what you said, but because you just don't know how to say what you just said, like, and you're trying again. Or if you're,
like, trying to figure out an accent or something, yeah, and you, like, have trouble getting it, like, just, it's fine if you don't do it. Like, yeah, pick
something else. Like, that's okay.
Pick an easier thing for you. It's totally fine.
Yep. Sort of the first and foremost part of character voice that we think of when we hear character voice, and that I think most people do, is accents.
Yeah.
And the thing about an accent is that it sort of places your character physically in the world that they come from.
Yeah.
Depending on the world that you're playing in, that can be like, oh, my character has this accent because they're from this species. Or, oh, my character has this accent because they come from this area of the world.
If you're trying to do a specific accent that you can't already just speak just off the top of your head, what I like to do to get an accent in my ears is listen to someone else speak it for a while. Like, if you need a Scottish accent, like, watch a couple episodes of Outlander. Or if you need a British accent, watch some Lord of the Rings. Like, just listen to someone else speak with the accent that you're going for, and just having it in your ears like that sometimes is enough to, like, swing you into it.
I don't know for sure, but I don't know where else I would have gotten it. I have, like, a passable Scottish accent that I can pull out.
It's downright passable.
And I'm almost completely certain that the place I heard it enough to figure out how to do it was Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons when I was, like, much younger than now. But
sometimes that's all it takes to get it in your ears. Yeah, it's just
this one character doing this voice, and I went, oh, I can do that. I can hear that now.
Yeah. And it doesn't also have to be, like, an accent from another country. It can also be a regional accent, like Brooklyn or Southern or whatever. The one caveat that we want to mention is, like, don't be racist. Please. Like, just don't. Like, think about it for a hot sec before you try to do, like, a dialect or an accent that you shouldn't perhaps be doing. Just like give that a quick second of thought. Please. And be like, oh, am I making fun of a certain type of people by doing this accent and, like, making it funny? If you are, like, don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a couple of characters between us and the people that we play with who we've done accents for in-game. We talked about this a little bit in the Fletchit episode, but me and Alex, when we played our halfling siblings, Fenelon and Vassar, we both did, like, a shitty British accent because we wanted to show that we were related and we came from the same place and we were from somewhere where none of the other players were from.
Okay, are you going to do that accent right now, though?
Yes, I just did like a pitched my voice a bit higher than usual, and I did a British accent, and Alex did it with me. He didn't want to, but I talked him into it, and it was good fun for everyone. And I don't have a very good British accent, but I can fake it, I guess, convincingly enough for me and my American friends. Not so good for people from Britain, I'm sure, but that's all right. Again, it doesn't have to be perfect. You can fake it along and have a good time. The important thing is to have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, so I didn't really have my character that I played when I ran the Shadowrun campaign that we did. But definitely the most consistent character, NPC, that showed up was the fixer for all of our players, and that was Annie.
My crime mom.
Let's see if I can still get it. It's been a while since I pulled her out, but it's just sort of a, I don't know, it's like towards Brooklyn, but honestly, I'm not going to pretend like there's not a hint of the South in there, too. But yeah, Annie just had this sort of, I mean, it's the stereotypical Brooklyn voice, right? That's because we were in Seattle, and I wanted to make it clear that she was sort of a newcomer to the area. Not really from around here. It also sort of, it gave her a sense of attitude, right? She could put on a real hard face when she needed to if people were trying to cause trouble in her shop.
And she had a back room full of just guns and shit. Oh, she sure and, like, did. Wild, not appliances, what word am I looking for?
Just
apparatus,
gadgets and gadgets, shit. Yeah. And, you know,
bombs and things.
Right. And, you know, it made it so that she could threaten to put a hole through your chest, and you took that seriously. But also, sort of, you know, she was fond of the runners, right? So, you know, she calls you sweetheart, that it like works. It settles. It feels good.
I love my crime mom. That's not the only good accent that you've done. You should talk about Elora also, whom I also love.
Yes. So, Elora, I'm not going to pretend that I am doing much more than ripping straight from Meryl from Dragon Age 2. And honestly, that's fine. She's a wood elf ranger, and she just sort of, she belongs in the woods, and that's where she lives and has lived basically her whole life. But it's really just, I mean, it's an Irish accent, right? Because that's what it is in Dragon Age, and that's 100% what I'm riffing off of when I do Elora's voice. And I don't know, it makes her cheerful and feel sort of friendly and young. It also stands out pretty strongly from the rest of the party, since...
Fucking none of them are doing accents.
Well, none of them are doing accents, and also she's the only elf.
That's true.
For whatever reason, she's the only non-human in the party at the moment. That's changing soon, but...
That's true. When I bring in my orc, I'll have to do a voice for her, too.
Yes, but I think elves just have Irish accents in the world that we're playing, because because the humans don't, and therefore, it sets them apart.
Yeah, and also, it's totally cool to just rip an accent from an existing character. Nobody will, like, know or care. Like, if you're doing, like, an accent that... you have in your ear because you heard it somewhere else and you're doing it exactly that same way or as close as you can get, that's totally fine. That's like an easy way to pick up an accent, and it's an easy way to have a distinct character voice, and no one's gonna care if you're copying from Dragon Age when you're playing Dungeons and Dragons with your friends or whatever. It's fine.
You also have a character voice that you're playing currently.
Well, not so currently. Hey, funny story. I played 2 sessions of Dungeon World with you and your friends, and my character already died. And it was his own fault, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, it was entirely preventable. I want to be clear that, 100% like, Kasha didn't join the campaign, and my friends instantly threw her under the bus. Like, he jumped off a cliff. He didn't need to jump off the cliff, but he jumped off a cliff.
It was
literally
a ravine.
Oh my god.
It was a ravine, and he tried to, like, swing along the bridge across the ravine on the underside of it, and it just didn't go.
He could have run across the bridge, and instead he decided to go under the
bridge. Well, he was getting shot at. Anyways, it's fine. Pim's voice was also a bit Irish, but also a bit Scottish, depending on when you catch him in the day. And then sometimes melting into British, because I can't keep a consistent accent going, but also because Pim has lived a lot of places and been to a lot of cities and picked up a lot of different accents and talked to a lot of people. And I didn't want him to be easy to nail down. Like, if you've met him once or twice, maybe you can't remember what his accent was because he did a different one every time he talked to you. He's a bit of a corn man, Pim. Well, he's dead now, so it doesn't matter. But, yeah, anyways.
Part of a bunch of those voices that we just did, that we mentioned as we did them, but on top of accent, there's also the idea of picking a register that you're going to speak in.
Oh, true. I did that with Fenelon without even thinking about the fact that it was in a different category.
That's fine. And it's just how high or low you speak. And we're sort of, in the case of doing character voice, thinking about that relative to your normal speaking voice.
Yeah, because there are definitely, like, sometimes I have a voice in my head that I want to do, but my actual voice just will not do it. And I'll get to that again in a sec, but it's always going to be relative to where your speaking pitch is already, like, normally, because unless you're some sort of magic wizard like the guy from Pentatonix, who can sing also extremely high and extremely low, and it's wild, like, unless you're like that guy, then you're probably only going to have a certain range that your voice can do, and that's totally cool.
Yeah.
The nice thing about register is that you can use it to indicate the size of the character that you're playing, or directly contradict the size of the character that you're playing. So you could have a huge, bulky orc character with, like, a really high, squeaky nasal voice. That'd be pretty funny. Or you could have, like, a halfling woman with, like, a booming, deep voice, which would also be great.
On top of that, age is, like, a place that you use this a lot of the time. Usually children you'll do with a higher voice, because they are young, and maybe some kid's voice hasn't dropped yet, so his is all the way up here when it doesn't necessarily actually sound like that. But,
or maybe you're a teenage boy and your voice cracks every time you speak.
Or, you know, an old crotchety man who is down here. And I mean, it can also signal gender.
But it doesn't have to.
It does not have to. I
love my deep voice girls. What up?
Yo. Yeah, I mean, if you want to, you can use it to signal a feminine gender with a higher voice or a masculine gender with a lower voice. Obviously, not all of us conform to that, but that's chill.
It's fine. Do what you feel is the cool thing. And, like, that's another thing is people when, or, like, people who want to play a character in a tabletop game that's a different gender than them, like, you don't have to change your voice necessarily. It literally does not matter.
Right.
You don't have to feel like you have to do a higher voice if you're a dude playing a female character or whatever. Like, you can just not bother, and that's totally chill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, so I think perhaps my favorite example of, like, different registered voices in the same campaign that we've ever had was the one-off that I ran for you and Alex, where one of them was a gnome and one of them was a dragonborn, and that was just delightful.
I can try and do Alex's. I think I have a better shot at it.
You definitely have a better shot. Alex has a much deeper voice than I do.
I think Axon was down here and just sort of very much in the back of the throat and had sort of that growl subvocal happening. I'm not sure if I'm even in the right neighborhood right now, but it was something along these lines.
It was definitely pitched pretty low, I recall.
Yeah.
Now you gotta switch to Gerald. I do. Good luck.
This is a sharp switch. and then there was Gerald. That's not even it. Where is it?
Gerald
the gnome, who was sort of more up here. I think this was closer to what I was aiming for.
That was it.
Yeah, it's just entirely in the front of my nose that I'm speaking out of right now.
None of her voice is coming out of her actual mouth whatsoever.
No, my like chest and throat and diaphragm have nothing to do with what's happening to my voice right now.
I'm sorry, I can't fucking deal with and Gerald.
It was nice because it led to, like, a very obvious contrast between the two, both in terms of audio quality and characteristics shown through their voices.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really good contrast between that voice that you just did and Gerald. It was, like, 3 octaves lower than that. It was very, very good.
You have also, I know, done a good voice involving pitch, and that was Shalai, the tiefling.
See, I don't know if I would call that a good voice. What I would call that was a failure, in that I tried to do, like, a deep growly voice, but this is literally as low as my voice goes, and if I speak down here for any length of time, I get, like, an ache in the back of my throat, so I just ended up doing, like, more of a serious voice for Shalai, and just speaking with a little more depth, or, like, raising my soft palate a little bit and speaking with more depth than usual, and that was the best I could do, which is fine, because if you are doing a voice that hurts you, you should stop. And I did stop, because it wasn't working.
If you don't know what raising your soft palate means, that's because you haven't been in choir for 8 years.
Sorry. So just, like, the back part of your mouth, just, like, lifting it up a little bit? Like, I don't know how to, I'm not a vocal expert, so I don't know how to explain.
If you don't do, vocal or wind instrument music, I don't know that I have, like, even
any way to explain it whatsoever.
A hint of a way to
What that in any case means, but really the point with Shalai's voice is that I didn't do the one that I set out to do, and that's fine. Like, I changed my mind partway through the game after I'd already been doing the voice down here, and I was like, I can't fucking keep that up, so we're gonna change it, and that was fine. No one really minded. It was chill.
That's totally fine and good, and a thing that you should allow yourself to do.
Especially if you're, like, feeling discomfort as you try to do a voice.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about inflection and tone, which is sort of, like, what emotions your voice is showing through which parts of words you emphasize and stuff like that? That's also kind of a weird one to describe. I don't know. Like, the only time I know how to describe inflection is when it's missing.
That's a good starting point, I think, is that a thing that doesn't have inflection is, like, text-to-speech voiceover stuff, so that everything just comes out evenly and with no change in pitch or cadence or rhythm or, like, that sort of deal. Like,
it's what you think of when you think of a robot speaking. All of the words are the same and there's no gaps between them, or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Like, that's what we're talking about when we talk inflection. Inflection is when the voice goes kind of up and down as you speak to indicate emphasis on which syllable.
Bad. Inflection and tone are nice, though. They show a lot of personality through speech. Like, the ones before this sort of give you more of a, like, physical history and appearance. But inflection is where you find out if a character's sort of sad and slow all the time.
You know, like Eeyore.
Or if they're really, like, so very sad. Happy and uppity and, oh my gosh, my voice just keeps going up like this. And you get a very distinct visual image of the person who's doing this, and you sort of know my personality instantly.
And hate it immediately. That's not true. I don't hate it. Yeah, that's true. It can also indicate, like, that your emotional state is changing as you play, or that your character's emotional state is changing. Maybe yours also, but your character's emotional state is changing. Like, maybe someone who doesn't usually speak very quickly is speaking quickly for some reason, and, like, there could be various reasons for them to be doing that. Or someone who tends to talk nonstop has started to, like, pause for a long time between words, or things like that.
Right. It's nice as a tool in your tabletop box of tricks. I don't know. I need a better phrase than that, but that's fine.
Your tabletop tool set. You're welcome.
Thank you. It's nice because it's a pretty easy switch to make. It's like, It's not really changing your voice all that much. It's just changing, I don't know, I'm trying to...
Yeah, this is a weird one to describe. But, like, if this is me in my normal speaking voice, maybe if I speak like this, and my voice goes up and down a lot more than it usually does, that might indicate that I'm excited about something, or whatever.
Right, yeah, it's... You don't even have to change your pitch, you don't have to change your accent, you can just, like, speak more excitedly, speak sadly. Like, those are concepts that, like, probably come more naturally to people than, like, oh, I'm going to sound accent. Like a different person, right, when I speak. Right.
Just like you, but more of a certain thing.
Yeah.
Is, like, how I think of this usually. Mm-hmm. A good example of someone that we know who did their same voice, but just more of it, was our friend Connor in the Shadowrun campaign. Did a character that was, like, a young elf.
He was a mage.
He used to be in a go gang, and then he got kicked out, and he's been on his own for a while, and now he's been shadow running. But he had, like, a very boisterous voice, and he always was so excited about everything, and he was just, like, so enthusiastic all the time. And it was, like, A, hilarious, because Connor's hilarious, but B, it, like, indicated that he was young and a little bit naive, and that's also something that makes you stand out in the world of Shadowrun, because it's one of those gritty sci-fi systems where everyone's always sad, and so it was, like, a big diversion from the usual, what people usually sound like when you think of Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Wispy did not sound like that.
Totally.
Remember when he just almost got hired for a real job that he was supposed to be, like, pretending to get hired for, yeah, and just left Shadowrunning to do, like, a real person job?
One of the characters I've done that has sort of the least change from my natural speaking voice was my cleric Kathmil. She just sort of spoke down here. It was a lower volume. She definitely spoke. She didn't project as much, and I hope the microphone's even gonna, like, pick this up.
Yeah, who knows? Honestly,
she hesitated between words a lot. And I feel like that showed that she was careful in her thoughts and her words, but also a lack of confidence or experience. And sort of as the game went on, and she grew in strength and confidence and was doing her best to protect her friends and keep everyone safe and make things sort of better and right, her voice got stronger, and you could still hear that original inflection in it, but there was a more confidence through the whole thing, and that way you could hear her character growth just through her voice.
Yeah, and it was So good. God, I love Catherine all with my whole heart.
She was a lot of fun to play. She was a good time.
I miss her, honestly. Ooh, you know what? We should talk about Flo. We should talk about Flo. Because Flo was another character from the Shadowrun campaign that our friend Erica played, and she had all of this backstory stuff going on where she didn't want anyone to hear her actual voice. So she did like a speech-to-text-to-speech thing, like filter in her helmet that made her voice sound kind of flat and robotic with very little inflection, because her voice was supposed to be coming through a speech-to-text-to-speech filter and conceal her identity. I don't know if I'm doing it very good, but like that like, was kind of that was kind of
yeah. I mean, it gets the idea across.
Yeah.
Other people's characters are.
I'm sorry. Okay, anyone who's listening to this who has played these characters and we're butchering their voices, I'm very sorry.
Ruining your character's voice. I apologize.
We can only do the best that we can do, and the best that we can do isn't always super great. So sorry if we've fucked up your character's voice on this show today. Another one we should talk about with inflection, I think, is Taco the Wizard from The Adventure Zone, because I think he does like a combination of inflection and register, where his voice is like a lot higher than Justin's voice, but it's also got a little bit of a drawl in it. I don't know how to do Taco's voice.
I don't know, my man. It's sort of up here. And mine's wavering a bit more than it should, but he's up here.
Taco
and
does that too, though. Like,
it does crack and waver. I'm not gonna pretend like it doesn't.
That's what makes it funny, though.
But he messes around with pitch, because it's much higher than Justin's speaking voice, but, the inflection is also rather unique throughout everything.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a really good character voice because it's A, very, very different from Justin's actual speaking voice, and B, it sets up this, like, very clearly evident persona that he can hide behind if he wants or needs to, and that, like, isn't necessarily indicative of how he's actually feeling.
Yeah, it's such a unique voice that it sort of establishes its own character. And like you said, he can hide behind it, and that if he just keeps his voice even mostly steady, it's hard to tell what's going on under the surface there.
Yeah, he could be having a really bad day and just, like, sound the way he normally sounds, and everyone would be like, oh, Taco's fine. Like, it's, oh god, it's a really, really well done character voice. And it's also, like, funny because the other two player characters have voices that are pretty similar to their own. Mm-hmm. Like, Magnus is just Travis, but a little bit more gusto. And Merle is just whenever Clint remembers to do it, and it's just like...
Merle is just, like, Clint growling while he talks, basically. Yeah.
So they picked like minor stuff to change, but Justin just fucking went for it and like did a whole different voice, and it ended up landing really, really well.
Totally. Another big thing that you can sort of try and think about are speech patterns that your character uses.
Yes.
And that's just like certain sentence constructions or often use words that your character favors as they speak.
That maybe other characters don't, so that it, like, sets them apart from other people in your party.
Yeah, and most of these are going to be, like, subconscious things. People don't usually think to do the stuff that we're talking about here, like repeated words and false starts and filler words. But they can add character through their speech if you put some thought into them.
Or even if, like, you, the player, have a certain, like, unique speech pattern. Or not even that unique, but, like, something that you already do a lot mm-hmm. that you have the character do whether or not you're thinking about them doing it. Like, that can be something that sets them apart from other characters. Like, if you're the kind of person who's always like, oh, cool, 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 when someone explains something to you, and then you have your character do that also, it's, like, a, like, not something that everyone does, so... people will know it's your character doing that when you do it.
Yeah. And like that would be a repeated word that you could use. You can also do repetition of whole phrases. If your character is uncertain, they might say stuff like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Which I do that.
Yeah.
Because I never know what's the fuck going on. It's right. Fine. Yeah, so, like, it can be stuff like that. Repeated words can be filler, or it can be for emphasis, or whatever. Like, when you're trying to get a point across, and you're like, no, we're going at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, guys! Remember, we're going at 7 o'clock. Like, stuff like that can also be a way to use repeated words.
Another thing that people do in real life, and your character can do, is have false starts when they start a sentence. Basically, that just means that the thought that they're trying to express wasn't fully formed before they started speaking.
Relatable.
Or you, like, started halfway through your thought and you went, oh, wait, no, I need to, hold up, let me back up, like, 2 seconds and try that again.
Let me clue you in from the beginning of my thought process instead of the right. middle of it, or whatever.
And that can be something like, somebody asks you a question and you go, yes, I do that because of this, like, you have that sort of, like, initial jump and then, oh, shit, there's nothing ready, hold on, wait.
Or the thing I do all the time, which is like, yeah, I know, well, okay, but what if we, hold on, and then just, like, start over 5 times before you actually, like, get your thought out?
Totally. There are, like, different ways that you can false start and, like, different amounts of it you can do.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody asks you a question and you go, yes. Shoot. Or if you go, I think that, yes. Like, those are two different things, right? Because you either jumped in with your gut and you went, yes, here's my answer. And now that I've put some thought in, I know why. Like, that shows one sort of eagerness and character. And then jumping in to just make noise, to have acknowledged that the question was even asked, and then going, okay, here's what my answer is.
Instead of the placeholder I said at the beginning of the sentence that was just going to be like, yes, I heard you, now I'm processing, now I'm going to actually answer.
Right. And, like, people use these in real life all the time. This isn't like
These speech pattern ones are, like, actual things that we do all the time without thinking about it. And all we're saying is that it sometimes is nice to put, like, a tiny bit of thought into, like, which of these speech patterns your character may have that are different from you, or that are the same as you, or whatever.
Totally. One of the most frequently used things here are going to be filler words, which you hear us use all the time, and you use all the time. And those are things like, and and, well,
I think is only in Britain they do that.
England. Whatever. It's just mouth sounds just, like, extended, like,
I do that a lot.
I think like is considered a filler word sometimes. Yeah. It's like, it's like, da, 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 da.
I fucking do that constantly. My mom would get on my ass about that when I was a kid. That's fine. You know whatever. What? It's fine.
It's all good.
My college professors also would get on my ass about it. Yeah, but those are filler words. And, like, if you have a character who uses a particular one a lot, like, especially, I think this one sort of depends on the age of your character. If you're doing, like, an older character, maybe they don't say like very much, but if you're doing a teenager, maybe they do. Like, I know Ember said like all the time because they were 15, but Shalai didn't because he was 60 or whatever.
Sure.
And they can, like, you can also use them to show thoughtfulness or hesitance in, like, a character saying a thing and then getting partway through realizing they don't have their complete thought and then continuing. Like, it's the mid-sentence version of a false start, I feel like, sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Phrases, like, commonly used phrases that a character might say. These ones can be just generic, like, you know. If you say you know a lot when you talk, like, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. Or it can be like a catchphrase or something that a character says a lot that only they say. Like, there was a character in our Star Wars RP that Giddy made who, he was a Jedi Master, and he was always saying, there's no reason to be afraid. Like, he would say that every time anybody was having an issue with anything. Like, that was just his thing that he always said. And that can be sort of a verbal signature for a character, if you put a little thought into that.
My biggest example there is actually Animal Crossing,
Oh my god.
Because anyone who's played anything but the new mobile game, really, they're in the mobile game too, you just can't change them. Every character has a little like sign off that they use at the end of sentences every now and then, and that they range from like reasonable to complete nonsense.
When she explained this to me, I was like, they what? Why is this a thing in this world? I don't know.
The one that made her squawk was Tex the penguin, who just sometimes ends the sentences with picante. And just like it just they all get used where instead of a period you have a comma and then this word or like two or three words. And it's stuff like, you know, like if you added you know to the end of a sentence, that's the same sort of concept.
Like Laser Ted, who's always like, oh, I have, you know, like 12 businesses. I have 12 businesses, you know, like 12 of them. Like he just, it's like a thing that gets inserted in the middle of a sentence. Laser yeah. Ted, by the way, is from Friends at the Table, the second season of Friends at the Table. And, oh my god, probably my favorite NPC in anything ever to date. God, he's so funny. Whatever, it's fine. But like, that's one of those cases where there's a phrase that he says a lot, and he uses it like a filler word, where he inserts it into the middle of sentences.
We already sort of mentioned pauses and the sense of false starts. But really, pauses can be anywhere in a sentence, before, during, or after. Pauses tend to express some sort of thoughtfulness or patience. It can be a character considering what they've said after the fact, or trying to make sure that they say the right thing beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that about covers that, I think.
Yeah.
So we're going to briefly talk about slang, or, you know, jargon, technobabble, exclamations, expletives, any sort of setting-specific terms that help with immersion when you're doing tabletop. And this is pretty just purely an immersion thing.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, like, this character would know these words and use them in their common parlance because of whatever reason. So stuff like invoking deities that are specific to the setting. Like, in Dragon Age, people are saying, by the maker, blah, 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 blah. Or Andraste's tit, or whatever. I don't think they actually say that, but, like, that type of stuff. Shows the, kind of, like, demonstrates the world building in a tangible way when you're just having character dialogue and stuff.
Yep. I want to say, I almost said in a real life example, but like Norse mythology comes to mind, saying things like, oh, by Odin's beard, and yeah, that kind of stuff is like,
except in fantasy wars, usually you say Merlin's beard or Merlin's britches.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want. Yeah, so that's one kind of slang you can work in pretty easily. If you, this is, every point on this list, I'm gonna say the same piece of advice, which is have, like, a short list of slang terms that you wanna, like, use in your character dialogue, and have those in front of you so that they're easy to reference, easy to glance at. Don't have a ton, because you'll just, like, get swamped in them. But, like, having a couple can really, really help immersion.
There's also, like, time period specific slang.
Yeah.
If you're
Jeepers.
Yeah, if you're playing in a setting that is real life old or based on like
an actual time setting period in that history.
Happened in history. Yeah.
Be loose with it. Be chill about it. Like,
right. We were thinking of examples to use here, and I said, like, yeah, I mean, like, if you're playing Old England and you say pants instead of britches or whatever, it's trousers. Gonna be fine. And Kasha goes, no, I mean, that's the one that really annoys me.
That
and
one I annoys said, me. I don't know why specifically pants annoys me in a medieval setting, because I'm like, no, it should be trousers or whatever the fuck. I'm a purist about that, but you don't have to be, is the idea. Like, if you say pants, people will know what you mean, and no one, probably, unless it's me, is gonna be like, no, it should be trousers or britches or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's, that one's specifically my own issue, but
using any stuff there really shows, like, a familiarity with the setting, yeah. And not everybody has the same level of that, and that's okay.
Yeah, me being annoyed about it means that I engage with a lot of fiction that is medieval in time period, or, like, medieval adjacent, and so, like, I know the terms that would have been used at the time well enough that I notice when those aren't the terms that someone uses, but, It's totally cool to say pants instead of britches. It's fine. It's chill. No one's gonna call you on it, probably. Or if they do, ignore them. It's fine. So sometimes you get, like, a setting where there's a ton of slang already in place.
Looking at you, Shadowrun.
Shadowrun, Jesus fuck. You don't have to use all of it. There are Shadowrun slang glossaries that are, like, 8 pages long, and there are slang terms for literally everything in the whole world, and you don't need all of them, is the thing, for it to feel like Shadowrun still. Like, again, pick a couple that you really like or that you're gonna use commonly that are gonna come up a lot in conversation. Like, if you know Drek, if everyone says Drek, you're good. Everyone knows it's Shadowrun. That's the simplest thing. You say it instead of, like, shit. It's, like, the same part of speech right. as that.
And here's the thing. It's not like I didn't say shit and fuck in the middle of the campaign when I was
DMing
in the heat of the moment.
And also, no one will notice because those are such common parlance that
you And the thing is that if you stop to think about it or look it up...
Yeah, that's what breaks immersion.
Instantly, you've broken immersion. Like, yeah. If you stop mid-sentence to go... Oh, no, wait, it's not a...
No, what's that thing called?
It's not...
Oh, we call them cred sticks in this world instead of, like, just money or whatever.
Yeah, is it credits or cred chits or, like, what's the...
Because the credit chit is the Mass Effect thing.
Right, yeah.
Cred sticks are the Shadowrun thing, and it's fucking different in every sci-fi world, and it doesn't matter.
It's fine.
It?
Everything's okay. Pick a few that you like Decking and New Yen and Drek and... You're fine. Like,
good. Cool. Shortlist. You're done. 3 slang terms that everyone knows what they are and everyone uses them and it's chill and it's fine.
Yep.
That's really all I have to say about slang is that just be loose with it and it should add flavor and not, like, be a source of stress of trying to, like, look up slang terms all the time. Just be chill about it.
Yep.
Hey, we haven't talked about physical actions yet.
Yeah. So everything we've talked about so far has been verbal.
Yeah.
Which
is because most of the time when you're playing at a table, all of your stuff is gonna be verbal. Like, unless, well, if you're sitting around a table together and you're able to look each other in the eyes as you play, then maybe sometimes physical cues come in that you, the player, do with your human physical body.
Right. But at the same time, sometimes I'm leaning back on 2 legs in my chair with my hands behind my head, and that has nothing to do with what my character is saying or doing in game, and that's fine too.
Sure. So. Or sometimes you're all playing on Discord and you can't see each other anyway, and then it's all verbal. But there are, like, physical gestures that you can describe your character doing verbally with your human mouth that sort of, they serve the same function as they do in written text. Like, if you're reading a book and a character is sitting and waiting for someone and they, like, are, like, scratching the back of their head while they wait, or, like, jittering their leg or something. It serves the same purpose of grounding that character in the setting and in the physical world that they're in, and sort of showing what they're doing when they're not speaking. Because some people do speak constantly at every moment, but some people don't, and sometimes you still exist when there's not sound coming out of your mouth, as it turns out. Weird thing. So we consider physical actions to be things like eye contact, fidgeting, gestures that you make while you speak, your posture, and this stuff can be acted out if you're at a physical table, or you can describe it. You don't have to act it out.
Yep.
Again, this isn't LARPing, legitimately. They're not the same thing. And it just helps the other players visualize your character and what they're doing at any given moment.
Yeah. I mean, there's countless ways that a character can move and that you can describe them moving.
We're definitely not going to hit every single possible one.
No.
Talking about this?
That would be probably like several weeks of
just continuous us listing talking.
Yeah.
Things that you do when you're not speaking.
But some of the questions that we've, like, thought of and seen around that might help you put a little bit more thought into it than just, like, what comes natural to you as you're acting out anyway. Are things like how effusive is your character with their gestures? Do they make big, grand gestures all the time, or...
Do they talk with their hands a bunch and stuff like that?
Or are they reserved? Like, do they make fewer gestures than usual because they're physically sort of closed in?
Yeah. Also, like, how do they act around strangers? And how do they hold themselves when they're around people they don't know well?
Is it different from when they're around their close friends? The safe bet is yes.
Probably. Most people, yes.
It might be in an interesting way.
Or it might not be different, and that's an interesting thing, too. Like,
yep.
Maybe someone is just as outgoing and boisterous as they usually are with people they know well, with strangers, and that's an interesting thing about them. Do they have, like, specific things that they do so that you can tell when they're angry or excited or guilty or something? Like, just physical tells that give away the mood that you're in? Stuff like that?
Yeah. Some of the examples that we have for that, because, like, everybody has some, right? But some that we just pulled up to show that they do exist are things like Miranda from Mass Effect. She reflexively sort of reaches up and plays with her collarbone with her fingers.
She's like touches her own collarbone while she's talking sometimes.
And it's just like shows that she's thinking or feeling defensive generally.
Yeah, like saying something that she doesn't normally tell people is usually, I think, when I notice her doing is like, oh, I haven't really told anyone this before, and she's touching her collarbone. It's like, it's just like a way of crossing her arm over her body in such a way that it's a layer of probably just psychological defense more than anything. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Or Alex's character Fletchett from Shadowrun. She rolled her eyes a lot, and this was something that Alex like did as he was speaking to me a lot of the time when he was like talking. When Fletchett was talking to Ember, she would roll her eyes a lot, but it was sort of a fond eye roll. Like, she wasn't really, like, pissed at Ember, but maybe exasperated about something.
Right.
In like a fond way. It wasn't an angry eye roll.
Totally. One last question that we suggest that you might want to think about is, how does your character react to physical contact? And that can be friendly physical contact, that can be unwarranted physical contact, that can be aggressive physical contact, that can be comforting physical contact. Like,
right, like, do you lean into it, or do you lean out of it, or do you, like, slap someone's hand away from you, or do you instinctively reach out towards other people a lot? Like, stuff like that is good to think about for your character.
We have one last sort of category to talk about here, and I feel like it combines verbal and physical, and that's sort of why we saved it for last.
These are the ones that don't really fit any other, or they fit more than one other place.
Yeah, and they're broad as well.
Yeah.
And that's just like distinctive traits, which I haven't titled this episode yet, but the title might be distinctive traits. anyway, it's stuff like it's verbal and physical mannerisms that make your character memorable, but don't necessarily fall under these other categories.
Yeah, so if you have something that your character does that directly contradicts what you'd normally expect for their race or class, like if you've got a really twitchy paladin who's always like glancing around and like looking over their shoulder and like speaks in like a softer voice than you would expect, that's one of those things where when you think of a paladin, you usually think of like a bulky armored person who like has sort of a booming voice and is just glowing with the aura of their deity at any given moment. But so it can be interesting to have like a character like that who doesn't act the way you'd normally assume someone like that would act.
Yeah. You can also use it sort of to counteract what the stereotype of like a fantasy race is. So for example, an orc who, when faced with like conflict or challenging circumstances, just sort of like shrinks away and closes themselves in and tries to feel and look small and non-threatening.
Aww, I love that. Or like maybe you've got like a really bubbly, happy-go-lucky, like, necromancer or something. Someone who you'd normally expect to be like, ooh, mysterious, tall, brooding, blah, blah. And they're just like a super happy, friendly, outgoing person who's like really loud and boisterous and loves to like be around other people and makes like really strong eye contact all the time and is always like slapping people's shoulders and like elbow nudging them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they also raise, you know, ghosts from the dead or what the fuck ever necromancers do.
And we're talking about these, and I almost feel like this is just a paragraph out of our first episode about
breaking archetypes.
Breaking archetypes.
Yeah.
changing things up there.
I don't think we talked about this as much as we could have in that first... The first episode was 20 minutes. It was actually quite short.
That's true.
So we may be hitting things along the way in this podcast that we didn't talk about in that first episode that are going to keep going back to that because that's a big thing in tabletop.
And really the thing we're just aiming for specifically here is things that you physically or verbally do that counteract stereotypes.
Or that your character physically or verbally does. Yes. Yeah. Another one is nervous tics, like the leg jiggles and whatnot, that show how your character manages stress or stressful situations. Those can be super telling about what kind of character you are, what kind of character you're playing. Like if you've got someone who's got those shifty eyes and they like their gaze never really lands on a thing, or someone who speaks really fast when they're stressed or nervous, like I think I do that. I think I speed up when I'm stressed out. And they always tell
most
you when
people,
you take,
most people do a little bit.
Yeah. It's... When you take, like, public speaking classes, they're always like, okay, slow down. Like, take a breath and say that again, like, half the speed you just did. Because it's just instinct to speed up when you're stressed. Those sort of tics can just, like, demonstrate how your character handles stress.
Yeah. Maybe your character doesn't stammer until it's a stressful situation.
And
or
then
maybe
they do.
They're usually pretty stationary, but as soon as stress gets high, they like can't stand still. Like those
shift
are,
from foot to foot.
Or yeah, whatever. All those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. We have a segment today, which I think we tried to do once before, but we had a recording issue and had to cut it.
Such a recording issue.
Oh, that was such a bummer because it's a good segment. The segment is called The Drawing Board, and we'll probably do this several other times throughout this podcast. But we're going to pitch each other some character ideas, and whoever pitches, the other person has to give that character some mannerisms off the top of their head. That's the game today.
And my impression of these rules is also that you need to speak in character voice as you
in the rules?
The mannerisms, I interpreted mannerisms as we're coming up with character voices for the character described.
Okay, great. Let's do that. I'm so here for it. Let's go. So I'll go first. So I'm giving you a portly, jolly-tempered halfling monk with graying hair at his temples, and he loves children, and he gets on very well with them because he had to give up the idea of having children of his own when he entered the monastery. He enjoys a good pipe now and then, and he's prone to coming up with fantastic exaggerations of his party's exploits to entertain the little ones.
Oh, man. Okay. I think, there's... His voice isn't particularly low or gruff or anything, but it does growl.
I already love him.
And he speaks slowly as he talks, because he's had many years and had many words, and you know, the children will listen regardless of how quickly or slowly he speaks, because
he has
good stories. He has good stories to tell about those times that they fought giants the size of mountains, and as he talks, his arms are flying through the air, showing just how, you know, the kids are sitting on the floor just in front of him, cross-legged, staring with big eyes,
dodging out of the way of his flying limbs.
I mean, sometimes his legs fly out. He's careful not to kick the kids, but you know, he has to show with his arms just how lumbering those giants were above them, and it's all very much for showmanship, but it's important. And he likes to slouch in his big comfy chair as he tells these stories with his pipe, but at the same time he can move when he needs to, right? He's a D&D monk, which means he can kick ass. Still, I feel like I'm leaning slowly and gently into Sean Connery with this voice.
The Sean Connery halfling monk? I'm here for it.
Other mannerisms. Like I said, he speaks slowly and thoughtfully, tries to not misspeak, and is always in favor of a good long pause instead of a misplaced word.
I love that.
I don't know. He has a big smile and a good, like, shoulder clap for anyone that he meets. Everyone's younger than him, so they're all youngins, and, you know, it's maybe not the least frowned upon thing to ruffle the hair of a new initiate in the order, but they'll survive.
I love him.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that count?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
He's great.
All right.
I'm not going to make you name him because that wasn't part of the game.
No, it wasn't. And I will never... We'll have 3 minutes of silence.
That was the segment we cut last time we did this segment, was that we'd describe a character and give them a name on the fly. And Ari came up with some really good ones. We had to cut them. I'm so sad. All right, you give me one now.
Okay. I've got one ready. A barbarian who has the habit of collecting a few books from the villages that they raise. They like all the usual barbarian stuff, fighting, drinking, eating an entire roast boar, and at the end of the night, or if it's a slow afternoon around the clan encampment, they usually return to their hut to read for an hour or two. They usually try to pass the books around to their friends once they're done with them.
That's the cutest shit I've ever heard. Alright, so I think the voice is a loud, boisterous voice, but when they read, I think they have a tiny pair of glasses that they perch on the end of their nose. And I think they love sharing stories with others, right? So they probably bring these books around to the encampments of their friends and go, "Friends, I've brought you a new story today!" And then they, like, gather around and read it all together. Probably they read out loud a lot, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
I think they read out loud, and I think they always have the book in one hand and are gesticulating with the other hand, and they are prone to hitting people with that other hand, but, you know, they're very large and they don't really pay attention to where all of their limbs are at any given moment, I think. and they just love being around a campfire sharing stories with their friends.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, I think so.
What other mannerisms do I need?
Do they have like a noticeable... How about, do they have a noticeable nervous tick? There's a question for you.
I don't think this character has been nervous a day in their life. I think it's impossible for them to feel nervousness whatsoever.
Sure. How do they greet someone that they've never met before?
With a hearty handshake. And also, they have enormous hands, so probably their hand envelops the person's entire forearm.
Good. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I think that seems like it covers it.
Great. Excellent. I have one more for you, if you would like.
I didn't have a second one for you.
That's okay.
Okay.
Can I still give you my one more?
We can try it, yeah.
Okay, great. It's a young human arcane trickster who made a living picking pockets in the market square until a wizard caught them at it and liked their spunk and took them on as an apprentice. The wizard is a strict but fair master, and the young human's skill with the arcane arts has been steadily improving under her tutelage.
Let's see. Skill. So they're an arcane trickster.
Yeah.
They were, oh man, they were a street urchin pickpocket, huh?
Uh-huh. They're still young.
Right. I'm so, Cockney is like trying to leak out of me right now, and I don't want it to, is the thing. So I think it is a pretty high voice still. I mean, it's somebody who grew up sort of rough, so I think... you sort of reflect that a little bit with some strain in the voice, if that makes any sense. I think they really, like, they're not used to talking to people, right? Like, they grew up sort of almost, like, I mean, sure, there's other kids picking pockets, but, like, they're... You gotta be careful when you live on the street as a kid. And so I think they are kind of nervous if they're talking to someone in just like a casual circumstance. I don't think that sits well with them. And they're getting better now that they have this teacher.
How do you think they sound speaking to the teacher, to the wizard? Like, how much respect do they treat her with, do you think?
I think it started off pretty, yeah, sure, whatever, uh-huh, yeah, I'm sure all high and mighty, yeah, okay, yeah, that's a cool thing, okay, so the fire was
neat. Oh, that's a cool fireball, all right.
Okay, that was cool, fine, whatever, teach.
I love that.
And since then, they've grown more to be like, yeah, okay, I want to be able to do this stuff too, and it's pretty cool that you can do it. So actually, you're worthy of being spoken to how you've asked me to speak to you. And so there is some respect and dignity that shows up there. And when they're in lessons, it's definitely more of a certainty. They still get nervous, right? Because they're learning, but
sure.
But there's more. They try and be confident in lessons, and that shows. And when they're casting magic and when they're fighting and stuff, that's also there. The like very certain, I can do this. I can do this magic, and that's good. And I'm awesome too.
I love this kid. Oh no, I love him. That's delightful.
I think in a casual circumstance, they tend to be pretty withdrawn. Lots of arms across the body kind of postures, until they get to know you really well, right? Like if you're trying to be friendly and they don't know who you are, there's a decent chance that you are trying to rob them and steal their food for the week. Even if that's not true or how they're living anymore, I think that was the way they grew up. So it takes some time for them to open up both emotionally and physically in that way.
Oh, bad. I love them. What a delightful child.
Okay.
Also,
that was a good example of a voice I could not maintain for an entire campaign.
Let alone 5 whole minutes.
That was about as long as I can do that voice. My throat is not the happiest with me just for that little stretch. Cool. So that's fun. Yeah.
Good job, Ari.
It's good to know.
Yeah, but again, maybe she does that voice on the first session of the campaign, and then next week she goes, yeah, we're not fucking doing that anymore, and it's
done,
a different voice.
Done, gone.
Fuck that shit, bye! Like, and that's totally fine to do. I think that's everything.
I think so too. Thank you all for joining us today.
Yeah.
I hope that all of our character voices were palatable enough to listen to.
Please turn my volume down when I do the barbarian voice. It was so loud.
Yeah, no,
I was
just yelling. I'll make sure we're all edited equally.
Great, but, thanks. Appreciate it.
Let's see. Oh, so I don't know how actually true this is, but SoundCloud stats are showing that we've had listeners in the last couple of weeks from not the United States, and that's pretty awesome.
That's
so
super cool.
If you're from France or Japan or
the UK, I think we know who it is who's listening in the UK.
Yeah, there was,
hi Rhea, hi, we love you.
Like Belgium, there's at least one other like northern European country that was on the list, and I was like, oh wow, okay.
We don't know anybody there, but I'm glad you're having a nice time listening to our podcast.
If you exist and aren't just some bot and are listening to this now, that's really cool, and thanks for checking us out.
Hi, hello, we love you.
Hi, you're cool, thanks. To everyone who's listening to this now, if you like what you've heard, it'd be really cool if you could tell your friends who play tabletop about what we're doing here and see if they want to listen to us too.
Yeah, check us out.
And what they can do is they can find us on iTunes under Choose Your Own Adventurer, Tumblr at cyoadventurer.tumblr.com, and Gmail if you have questions for us. choose.your.own.adventurer@gmail.com.
Oh my god.
We don't have any questions stored from anyone. And if you have questions that you would like us to answer, please go ahead and toss them our way.
We love them.
Because we like answering your questions if you have them.
If we don't get questions, we'll do segments and subject you to more of our on-the-spot character development. So,
yeah,
you know, if
so
you
run,
want that, cool.
Run far and fast from that.
But alternately, send us questions.
Yeah. The next episode that we record after this one is, I believe, going to be flaws.
Character flaws! My favorite thing. I always say my favorite thing.
You do always say your favorite thing. But this is a cool one.
Yeah.
And that's just like different aspects of a character that are going to negatively impact them
or
their
party
or the story or just generally ruin days. So if you have questions specifically about that, send them our way and we'll answer them when we record that episode specifically.
Yeah, ask us about character flaws. I will talk about them till I'm blue in the face. Don't even worry about it. We also have a Twitter now. You can find us at CYO_adventurer. If you want to check out more of our work, We made a visual novel together, and you can play it at commanderkip.itch.io.
We haven't said the name of that in a while. It's called House of Arcane Treasures.
Yes, House of Arcane Treasures. So that's, and it takes a little under an hour to play all the way through. It's not that long. It's cool, I think. We made it, so I hope it's cool.
If you like listening to me talk here and you want to hear me talk while I play video games, you can also catch me on Twitch some evenings at Aria Joy, and that's A-R-I-A-J-O-I-E.
Both of those names capitalized.
Yeah, one word. That's on Twitch, and I play a bunch of things. So
it's good and wholesome, and she swears a lot, and it's a fun time.
I just got Need for Speed Rivals on PlayStation. Oh my god,
please stream that. And that'd be so fun.
Kasha watched me play for 4 hours last night.
What a party.
As I just sort of threw my cars into assorted disasters. It was fun. It's a good time.
It's a good fun time.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, all of our listeners. It's really been cool to see the listen count going up recently on new episodes that we put up. And we really appreciate that from everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Keep adventuring, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.